All right, we talked last week about the gifts and the fruits and the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and we need just a quick review, and then we'll pick up this week. Let's ask God's blessing upon what we're going to do. Father, we ask you to minister tonight by your Holy Spirit. Well, I ask you, Father, to give me utterance in the Spirit. Cause me, Father, to say those things that would edify the body of Christ, that would lift up and glorify only Jesus. And I ask you, Father, that your word would be caused to come forth in such a clear and positive and powerful way that everyone would be able to understand exactly what you have for us tonight. I yield myself to you, and we all open ourselves to the ministry of your word. We thank you for what you're going to do in answer to this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, we said last week that the body of Christ, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, is intended to be, in just a few words, what? The expression of what? The expression of Jesus in today's world. All right. That's the church, the body of Christ. That's what he intended. He said, in a little while I go away, but then I'll return. Then I'll come back. He came back in the power of the Spirit. All right, now we said that last week we talked about the Trinity, about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We talked about the triune man, spirit, soul, and body. And we talked about the triune church. And how many of you remember what the triune church was? This being the church, we said gifts, fruits, and what? Ministries. All right. All right, now tell me in just a couple of words, someone, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Not what are the fruits, but what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his very nature. It is the be good part. You recall we talked about that last week? All right, the fruit is the character and nature of Jesus. It's his love, it's his peace, it's his joy, it's his tenderness, it's his gentleness, his meekness, his self-control, all of those things that characterize the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are what then? All right, it's the power and the enablement to operate. Whose power? It's the power of Jesus. It's the ability of Jesus. It's the enablement to do the works that he did. It's the doing part. It's the action part. And the ministries are what? They're the fivefold ministries, but the ministries or the ministry gifts in the church today are meant to be the expression of what part of the Lord Jesus Christ? Pardon? Okay, but what part of him? His ministries. His ministry as apostle, his ministry as prophet, his ministry as teacher, as shepherd. Remember we said pastor and shepherd are exactly the same thing. As a matter of fact, the word pastor in the New Testament is the Greek word for shepherd. That's what a pastor is. He's a shepherd and teacher. So apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, those are the ministry gifts, people who are anointed by God and have been given by God to the church to be the expression of Jesus in the world. All right, now, we said that the complete church or the perfect, the fullness of the church of Jesus Christ would be characterized by all three sides of that triangle, didn't we? We said that three in the Bible is the number which is symbolic of completion or perfection. When you see the number three, that's what it means. That's why God is three in one. That's why man is three in one. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is also three in one. And if you have a church, that does not have like that, you have an incomplete church, don't you? Now the church can be active and operable and doing works for the Lord Jesus Christ and be effective, but not complete. And you can have a church like this, you see, with lots of power in it. Lots of things going on, lots of things happening, but there may be no joy, maybe no love, maybe no peace. Can have a lot of confusion, you see, and a lot of strife and so on, because the fruit's not there. Now, if you take this side off, you have a church that feels right, but can't do. And it's a church that would say to a sick person, I love you, but I can't do anything to help you. Jesus said, I love you, be thou made whole. See, that it thrill you? I did, it just thrills me. He said, I love you, be made whole. So the church is not, the church is not, not the church, but it's not the fullness of it. It's not all of it, okay? If the church isn't teaching, if the pastor is not truly a shepherd like Jesus was, then the church is short in that area. See? Even though it's got the others, it needs to have all three, okay? All right, now, that's just by way of review so that we see where we are. And I want to ask you some questions. This question I want to ask you, are the gifts of the Spirit? Now, we talked last week, and then by way of review here tonight, we talked about gifts, fruits, and ministries. Here on out, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit because that's what this series is about. And the only thing we were doing last week and thus far tonight is just putting it in a frame of reference so that we get a balanced understanding and balanced teaching out of the Word of God. I want to ask you the question, are the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today? How many of you believe they are? On what basis do you say they are? Because many of your brothers and sisters now, people who love God, who have the Spirit of God on the inside of them, love Jesus with all their heart, winning souls for Him, do not believe that the supernatural, charismatic gifts or enablements of the Holy Spirit are for today. They don't believe tongues are for today. They don't believe miracles are for today. They do not believe that healing is for divine, supernatural healing is for today. Do not believe that prophecy, supernatural utterance in the common language is for today. Do not believe that those things are for today, but rather that they passed away after the New Testament was completed. That's the end of it, and it's not for today. Now, you all are saying, those of you that were willing to express yourself, that they are for today. Now, we need some basis for that. Just on the basis of what we have said, we'll get some scripture here in just a minute, but just on the basis of what we have said, why could you establish definitely that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic gifts, are for today? All right, and what is the church? Okay, and the body of Christ is? All right, and Hebrews 13:5 says that Jesus is what? Say it louder, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if the church is the expression of Jesus, do you see how simple that is? It's not complicated. If the church is truly the expression of Jesus Christ in the earth, then, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then He's like He was, is today, like He used to be, then the gifts that were operating in His life will be operating in His body today. Does that make sense to you? That's the truth. All right, now, is 13:5 the right verse? Anybody look it up? Someone look it up and just make sure it is. The rest of you turn to 1 Corinthians 12. It might be the 8th verse of Hebrews 13:8. All right. Right. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. I want to read a number of verses here. Actually, this whole chapter is, you know, is just filled with this idea, but we'll read a portion of it. Verse 1, Paul says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And he goes on to describe what are the 9 charismatic gifts, the 9 spiritual gifts in verses 8, 9, and 10. We're going to come back to that a little later on this evening. But I want to start reading at verse 12. I just want to set set us up here so that we know what we're studying. For as the body is one, what body? What body? The church, the body of Christ, one body. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all of the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the new birth now. That's how we become part of the body of Christ, is when we're born again. The Holy Spirit takes us. We're unregenerated sinners. We've been in enmity with God. Maybe we didn't want to be, but we have been because we've not been born again on the inside. We were dead, Paul said in Ephesians 2, in sin and trespasses because we were living in sin and living in opposition to God. And we may be good people in accordance with the world's standards, but as far as God's standards is concerned, we're in sin. And there are a lot of good people, you see, that aren't going to heaven because they haven't been regenerated on the inside. Okay, here we are over here as sinners and set in opposition to God. The Holy Spirit, when we say, Jesus, come into my heart, I want to be born again, take away my sin and the stain of it, I repent of it, I want to turn away from all that old garbage, I want to be new, and we say, Jesus, come into my heart, the Holy Spirit takes us and He picks us up spiritually. He takes us out of the devil's family, and He puts us into Christ. Hallelujah is right. He puts us into the body of Christ. He does it. Now, when it says we are baptized into Christ, it means He takes us all, spirit, soul, and body. He takes the whole package, and He picks us up over here, stained, black, ugly, filthy, you know, in opposition to God. He picks us up, and He cleans us up, and He takes us over here, and He puts us into Jesus. And we are baptized into the body of Christ. We become then, through the new birth, part of His body, one of the members of His body, the expression of Jesus in the world today. Now we collectively, you see, many members make up that one body, the expression of Jesus in the earth today. We're going to talk some more about tonight the manifestation of the gifts, and we'll see this, the importance of understanding many members, one body. All right? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, all have been made and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. All right, the Word of God says that God takes us, puts us into the body of Christ in the way that pleases Him. We are members of the body of Christ according to the pleasure of God. He's the one that does it. Now, within this church, or within this body, there are legs and arms and noses and eyes and ears, and there are common parts and there are not so common parts. There are parts that are glorious and there are parts that are common. Paul goes on to talk here about those common parts are very necessary. Just think about the parts of your body, you see, that are necessary to you. Have you ever seen anybody try to walk without a big toe? Can't do it. You have to learn how all over again. The big toe is what balances you. That's probably one of the ugliest parts of your body. But without it, you can't walk. See? And Paul says that the common parts are very important as well, you see. It's not only the glorious ones, but the common ones. And just read on through the balance of that. All right, now, in comparing the body of Christ and what Lois was saying here before, whether the body today is to operate in the same gifts that Jesus did when He ministered. Jesus was a man, but He was also God. He was more than just a man, wasn't He? He was more than just a flesh and blood man. He was God Almighty in the flesh. He was natural, but He was also supernatural, above natural. All right, now, if His body in the church today does not operate in a supernatural way, what kind of an organization do you have? Man's natural human organization. If the church does not operate in the charismatic supernatural gifts of the Spirit, you have primarily a human organization. We said it was incomplete if it didn't have the power gifts. We can say also that it does not an organism operating in the earth today without the supernatural enablements is not much more than a human organization. Now, the Spirit of God may be operating in it through the fruits and through the ministries. But without the gifts, you don't have the power. All right, I want you to see also now in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, while you're right there. This one passage of Scripture that we need to have a clear understanding on, beginning to read at the 8th verse of chapter 13. Many of our brothers and sisters in the church, those that, as we shared before, love God really with all their hearts and want to serve God, have badly misunderstood this passage of Scripture and have taken the position that the supernatural gifts of the Spirit are not for today because of this. Charity, that means love, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Those who believe that miracles have ceased, that the supernatural has ceased, generally give these scripture verses as evidence. And they take the position that where Paul says definitely that tongues, prophecies, and supernatural manifestations like that will cease. There will come a day when they'll be all gone. But the position that most of these folks take is that where Paul was saying here, when that which is perfect is come, that which is imperfect will be done away with, or that which is in part, verse 10, they take the position that the perfect has already come, which is the Bible, the Word of God. That when the New Testament was completed, that was the end of it, perfection had come, and no longer were the supernatural gifts needed any longer. But now if we just read on a little carefully, a little further, verse 12. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Face to face. What does that indicate to you, the word face to face, or that phrase? Face to face with Jesus, another person. Face to face with another person. Not face to face with a book. Face to face with a person. You don't come face to face with a book. You come face to face with a person. That which is perfect, when it comes, it'll be a man. His name will be Jesus. When he comes again in power and glory, then the perfect will have come. Miracles, tongues, prophecies, they'll all go. There won't be any need for any of that. The perfect age has not come. Anybody that would say today that we're living in a perfect age is either crazy or has been in a cave for the last 25 or 30 years, or however long they've been alive. All right. Lastly, as far as why the gifts are for today, has to do with the evangelistic ministry. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but something that has always struck me, and I never really understood it until I began to know how God moved in the supernatural. So many of our churches, in love, have reached out, I'll use this one example, have reached out across the oceans in order to reach the heathen world for Christ, have reached out with doctors and hospitals and medical missionaries and so on in order to minister to the needs of the people, hoping to lead them to Christ, and have had some success in doing that. Now, some of our Pentecostal brethren have reached out to the heathen through the supernatural evangelistic ministry with men and women anointed of God, with the gifts of healings, with the working of miracles, with discerning of spirits, with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, and have conducted revivals and campaigns in these heathen lands where thousands and hundreds of thousands of heathen people come. To see what? The supernatural power of this Jesus. And demons are cast out. People are healed. Limbs grow up. Blind eyes are unstopped. And God does miracle after miracle after miracle in services like that among the heathen, just like he did in the time of Jesus. And what happens? The people, yeah, they believe. They believe because they've never seen anything like it. They've never seen anything like it. Now, there isn't anything wrong, you see, with hospitals and medicine and all. I mean, that's all good. But it's man's way, you see? It's man's way. It eliminates or it avoids, it does not take advantage of the supernatural power of God to preach the gospel. If Jesus, we said last week, if Jesus had not been a miracle man, we didn't know about him today, would you? He'd be just like any other teacher, itinerant teacher, you see, 2,000 years ago. It was his miracles. Nicodemus came to him and said, I know you're a man from God. I know you're a man from God, because no man could ever do the miracles you do unless he was. So, are the gifts for today? Yes, they are. They're needed for evangelism. They're needed to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is God. They're necessary for that purpose, you see, for the evangelistic ministry. They are for today because the perfect age has not come yet. We have not seen perfection. They are for today because without the gifts of the Spirit, the church would just be a man's organization, would just be a human organization. And we're still the body of Christ, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, now, the purpose of the gifts. Why has God given them? First of all, we've said it's to manifest the ability, the power of the body of Christ in the earth today. We said, secondly, that it's to assist in evangelizing the world. Now, just this scripture is a good scripture on that particular topic. Is in Mark the 16th chapter. And I think most of us have not really seen this as far as the ministry of an evangelist. And if you want to see the evangelistic ministry the way it's supposed to be, read the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, and read about Philip's evangelistic campaign in Samaria. Read what he did there. We don't have the time to do it here tonight. But that's an example of the New Testament evangelist. And the Bible tells us that Philip was an evangelist over in Acts, I think, 20. I don't know what chapter exactly it is. It calls Philip the evangelist. His ministry is in Acts chapter 8. Read that chapter and see what an evangelist is supposed to do. An evangelist is not just a good preacher. An evangelist, a New Testament evangelist, is to operate in the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. There's to be deliverance and healing and miracles following after his word, and the heathen are to come into the kingdom. All right? In this Gospel of Mark now, chapter 16, Jesus, just before he ascended to heaven, beginning to read at the 14th verse, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what kind of a ministry is that? It's an evangelist's ministry, isn't it? It's not a pastor's ministry or a teaching ministry. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everyone. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and. What's the word and indicate? Part of the same thought. Continue. Now stay with me now. Go and preach the gospel. The ones that believe will be saved. The ones that don't believe will not be saved. They'll be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord had spoken unto them. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So what is supposed to happen with an evangelist ministry? He's supposed to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. He's supposed to lay his hands upon the sick, there to be healed. He's supposed to speak in new tongues and the rest of it. The supernatural charismatic gifts of the Spirit, you see, are to be used particularly in that ministry, especially the power gifts. All right? Thirdly, the purpose of the gifts today are to edify the church. Now, we get a scripture there out of 1 Corinthians 14. And while we're turning to that, someone tell us what is meant by the word edify. to build up, all right? To strengthen, to build, to construct. We get our word edifice from this base word, edifice, a building. To edify means to build up, to strengthen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Now there are several verses in this chapter, but especially the 12th verse I want you to notice. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify the church. This is one of the purposes, to build up the body of Christ. Now, what would be some examples of some of the gifts that could be used to edify the church? Prophecy is the primary one, right? The utterance gifts particularly, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Others will as well, but particularly those, the utterance or inspiration gifts. All right, fourth, the charismatic gifts of the Spirit are intended today for the purpose for deliverance of God's people. That the people of God may be delivered and walk in liberty. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture. We'll not turn to it because of time, but let me give you the scripture so that you have it. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 16. This is the story of the coming of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, coming to the Red Sea, and Moses stretching forth his rod. And through the gift of the working of miracles, the sea was parted, and the people of God were delivered out of danger into a free land. Okay? Now, there are many such examples, and when we talk about each of these gifts individually, we're going to really go through the scripture and look at some of these specific examples. But the gifts of God, you see, if you're bound, brother, but you love God with all your heart, but you can't serve Him because there's something that's just got a hold of you, and it's just like a rope wrapped around you. And I lay my hands upon you in the name of Jesus. I command that thing to be broken and fall off of you and minister deliverance to you, and you come out in freedom, you say. The deliverance of God's people through the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Either the inspiration, the revelation gifts, or the power gifts, or all of them working together. Okay? Fifthly, the gifts of the Spirit today are for the purpose of perfecting the church. The perfecting or the completing of the church. And our scripture for that is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. Let me just read two of those verses. Verse 13 is, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now this word perfect, as is translated in the New Testament, means complete, mature, full grown. It doesn't mean without flaw, like we use the word perfect today. It means mature, complete, full grown. Till we come unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. The supernatural charismatic gifts of the Spirit are meant today so that we would be perfected as the expression of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives us those gifts for that purpose. All right, now, we know that the gifts are for today. God has given us clear understanding as to why they're for today and what their purposes are. And we've just looked at five of them, very specific ones. All right, I want us to talk now about how the gifts operate, how they work. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and I want everybody to read the first verse. Everybody have it? All right, let's have everybody reading there together, 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. We keep using this word gift. When you hear the word gift, what does it stir in you concerning the nature of the thing that you have in mind? Just the word gift itself. Something good, all right, that's good. Pardon? Receiving, all right. Something that must be received. All right, there's always a giver. And there's got to be a receiver. Okay. All right, very good. All right. Specifically, I want us to look at this word right here. This word gift is a good word because it indicates that it is free. It is not something that is earned because of good behavior. It's not something that you can work for or become good enough to obtain. It is something which is freely given by a loving giver. It cannot be earned. It cannot be worked for. It's freely given as a sign of your relationship to Him. Example, when it's your son's birthday, do I buy him a present or do you? You do it. Why? Because he's your son. You're the one that has the relationship with him. You see, I don't have that relationship with him. A gift is not an earned reward. It's not a payoff. It is a sign of relationship rather than reward. Now let's put that up here like that. This is very important. And it will help us understand subsequently what God expects of us. It indicates relationship, not reward. And it is the ministry of Jesus through his believers today. It's the doing of the same works that he would do if he were here. Right. And it's not really a gift then either. It's not truly a gift. Truly a gift is free. If it's given on that basis, it would be a bribe or a payoff of some kind. Okay. The word gift literally means freely given. Freely given. So when we talk about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, we want to understand that these are gifts or enablements that are given freely by a God who loves. Okay? All right, now, I want to give you a little Greek lesson here, and it's important for you. There are several words in the New Testament that are used for the word gift in the Greek. There are two that are important to us. The first one is this word right here, doria. The second one is this one, charisma. A Greek word, charisma, the plural, charismata, from which we get our word charismatic. Now, see, I want to say this. We have made a distinction for the purposes of our discussion between the gifts of God and the charismatic gifts of God. There's a difference in God's gifts in accordance as far as the Scripture is concerned. This word right here is used in, Conway, would you look up Acts 2:38? Donna Brock, would you look up, please, Acts 8:20? And Mike, would you look up Acts 10:45? Let's get those three. Now, this is in each of these verses, there's a word translated gift. All right, Conway, read yours. Okay, the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? Donna, read yours, please. Nice and loud.
But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
The gift of God, and what gift was that in that passage there? Do you remember? In Acts 8, it was down in Samaria. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? All right, who had Acts 10:45? Mike?
And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost.
The gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, now, that Greek word that is used in all three of those locations and many others in the New Testament is the word doria. The gift of the Holy Ghost himself. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. Elsewhere in the New Testament, this word doria is used to describe the gift of Christ that God gave. The gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. All right, now, the word charisma is used to describe the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to get this distinction clearly. This word doria is the giving of the Holy Ghost by God to us. Charisma are the gifts that the Holy Ghost gives to us, the supernatural enablements of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Word of knowledge, gifts of healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation, and so on. Now, this would be important to you if you're going to do any study, if you're going to do any study in a concordance, it would be very important to you. Now, you've just read 1 Corinthians 12:1. Where Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." What kind do you believe that is? Charisma. Charisma. Okay. Someone look up 1 Timothy 4:14. And let's have Gary do that. And Robert Black, would you look up 2 Timothy 1:6. And Lois, would you look up 1 Peter 4:10. And... That's good enough. Acts 2:38. Okay. All right, Gary, you have the first one.
It was 4:14, right?
Right.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, but the laying on of hands of the
presbytery. Okay. Now, would God instruct you to stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost? He wouldn't say, stir up the Holy Ghost. You don't stir up the Holy Ghost. He does not need to be stirred up. He's already stirred up. You don't stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost. You stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost that He has given you. The supernatural enablement that He's given you. All right? Who has 2 Timothy 1:6? Yes, okay. Stir up the gift of God, which was given to you by the putting on of my hands. Same idea. All right? Who has 1 Peter 4:10? Lois?
1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Okay. And who had the first one? No, there was another one. Didn't I give you another one? Oh, that was it. Okay. All right, that was it. All right, now this distinction, what I want to make for you. These are actually two different words. Doria is gift. The word charisma or charismata comes from this base word, charis. Do you know what that word is? You know what it means in the Greek? It means grace. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. Tongues, prophecy, miracles, healings, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and so on, are the graces of God. The graces of God. The graces of God. The graces of God. Those things which are given by God to us without our deserving, earning, or entitled, our being entitled to them. The word grace literally means unmerited favor. And when God does these things for us, He demonstrates His grace to us by giving us grace. Okay? All right. That'll help you just as far as your study is concerned. All right, now, let's jump to another all of this that we're sharing tonight is not going to come together for you until we really get specific into the gifts, and you'll see how these things are important. Okay, now as far as the operation of the gifts themselves, and this is important for you also as far as basic foundation is concerned. There are three elements involved. What happens when a miracle takes place? What happens when the gifts of healings are in operation? What happens when the gift of faith is operating? What happens when spirits are discerned? What happens where there is prophecy or tongues or interpretation? First of all, there must be, and we looked at this before, there must be a giver, and he gives the gift. Down here somewhere, there is a recipient or a receiver, I think you said, didn't you? We use your word. And he or she is the person who is ministered to. Okay. In between is some sort of a channel through whom the gift is manifested. All right, now you still should have your Bibles open there to 1 Corinthians 12. Those are the three elements. I want you to see something here that's terribly important and to a large degree misunderstood, even in charismatic churches. Let's begin to read here at verse number 4. And let me have everybody to read these together through verse 11, please. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. All right. Look at verse number 7. That is the key verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The last few words there tell us what the basic purpose of the gifts of God are. They are to profit with all. The gifts of God, the supernatural gifts of God, are to profit with all. They are given for the benefit of all the people. God is the giver of the gifts by the Holy Spirit. They are given to all to profit. In other words, for their good. They are meant to bless. They are meant to edify. They are meant to deliver. They are meant to save. They are meant for good for those people who receive. They are given or ministered to the ones who are in need. You minister healing to those that are in need. You give revelation to those that need revelation. All right? God's the giver. It's ministered to that person who is in need. It's given to profit with all. Now it says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to whom? Say it, please. to every man. Every man. Every believer now. Let's be sure we understand that. He's talking here to believers, not to those outside the body of Christ. To whom is the gift given? Okay, which ones though? Who are these people right here? What did I say before? Okay, and they are who? Let me write it down. All right, now let me give you an example right here. Here are three people, or here are two people on the front row. Here's Mike and Kay. And Kay is in need of healing. Now, God loves her. Jesus bore the price for her healing when he took the stripes. Is that right? Is that the truth? All right. Does God want her whole?
Yes.
All right. Mike lays his hands upon her. He says, "Be thou made whole in the name of Jesus," and she's made whole. Now, we know who God is. Who's the receiver in this case? Kay. And who is the channel? Mike. Who received the gift? What did he get? Okay. She got the healing, didn't she? What is the gift? Okay, there's no gift of channel. There's no gift of manifestation. It's a gift of healing. And the gift of healing was given to whom? Kay, she got it. Now, would it be proper to say that Mike has a gift of healing? Not really. Because he doesn't have a gift. She got the gift. Here's God up here. Here down here, you see, is Kay, and she's sick. And God's got to get that healing from there to there. Who's that? That's Mike. And the healing of God comes down that channel and comes to where it's needed. Okay. Now the gifts of the Spirit, this is what I want you to understand. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, God doesn't say, gift of healing, working of miracles, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, word of wisdom. He doesn't go like that. Because the gifts aren't given like that, are they? Who are they given to? To the receiver. They're not given to the channel. Mike said when I asked him what he got, he said he got the blessing. That's right. Because when that healing flows through him, he gets the benefit of it. A prayer that I prayed regularly was when I was asking God to use me in the gifts, and I'd say, "Lord, just glorify yourself. I'll give you all the glory. Just give me the joy." See, the glory be thine, the joy be mine. And that's what happens here. The glory goes to God. Because if Mike had the gift of healing, he'd run down here to Atlanta West. He'd go from floor to floor. He'd go in every room and he'd lay his hand on everybody. "Be thou made whole in the name of Jesus." And the people would just jump up and run off, wouldn't they? Atlanta West would be out of business. The gifts of God do not operate that way. They don't. When Jesus in the fifth chapter of the book of John went to the pool beside Bethesda, and there were sick people all over that. You know, there was a pool there, and every once in a while the angel of God would come and he would trouble the water. He would cause the water to move. The first person into the pool, it wasn't everybody out of the pool, it was everybody into the pool. The first person in the pool after the angel had troubled the water got healed. Jesus came down and there was an impotent man there. He was impotent. He couldn't move. He was impotent from his birth. And Jesus said, how come you haven't got your healing? He said, "Well, when the angel troubles the water, I have no man to help me to get down into the pool." And Jesus said, "Be thou made whole." Now, there were people laying on these porches all around this pool. Why did Jesus only pick one man out? Why only one? No. But they were all sick. Okay, but they were all seeking. All right? He chose to is why. He said, I do nothing of myself, but whatsoever I see the Father doing, that's what I do. Jesus was a walking channel for the power of God. And when Jesus walked to the pool at Bethesda, God said to him, that one over there that's impotent. He walked over to him and he said, how come you're not healed yet? Now, does that mean he didn't love any of the rest of them? No, of course he loved them all. He went to the cross and he died for them all. He took stripes for them all. But the gift of healing, the supernatural power of God, was manifested that day to one man. Why? Say it, please.
He chose to.
You cannot put God in a box and turn him on and off. He'll do whatsoever he wants to do, you see, in accordance with his word, always.
You're speaking about the sovereign will of God through the gifts of the Spirit, not our promises and truths of God's word.
Right. We're to receive healing by faith all the time, every time. I'm talking about the sovereign move of God. Out of the 11th verse here, these all worketh, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, how?
As he wills.
Nobody is a healer. Nobody is a healer except one. You know what his name is? Jesus. See, he is. Right. We'll talk about that some as we go along. We get into some of these specific gifts. Now, it is true, and while we're on that subject, turn over just probably right on the next page in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll show you something here that's important to us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30. Paul says, have all the gifts of healing? Have all the gifts of healing? In other words, he's saying, does every believer have the gifts of healing? He's saying, no, every believer doesn't, because God gives those as he wills. All right? Now, he seems to indicate here, when he's talking about have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, he's talking about those that have a ministry in that gift. And this is Paul, the Word of God, and also today, we would tend to say that if Mike, for example, we use him as an example, if Mike was frequently used as a channel of God's healing power, and the gift of healing frequently moved through Mike, we could say in that sense that Mike had the gift of healing, as Paul says, have all the gifts of healings. Does everybody have the gift of healings? We'd say no, but Mike does. But when we say that, we must be sure that we know what we're saying is that Mike is frequently used as a channel of God's healing power. God still has the gift. He gives it to the people who are in need when he chooses to do so, and he frequently uses this man. So he has a ministry in healing. He has the gift of healing to that extent, but he does not possess the gift. He does not possess the gift. It is not his to use anytime he wants to. And you can understand why God would do that. Pride. See? Pride. Yes. Right. And any channel, you see, that is trying to become the giver, any channel that is trying to set him or herself up as the source, let's see, you watch it, see, who's getting the glory for that? Who's the healer? Is Jesus the healer or is the channel the healer? All right, now, we talked about healing. Let's talk about prophecy just for a moment. If this is true for all of the charismatic gifts, the spiritual gifts, then it's true not only for healing, but it's true also for prophecy. Isn't it? The channel can open his mouth and start to speak, but it's not prophecy unless it's originated here. And who is it given to? The church. It's given to the body, you see, to edify the church. The gifts are given by God to the church to profit everybody. This is what I want you to see. They're given to profit everybody. They are given to the church through a person. Through a person. Just remember that. They're given to the church through a person. Okay, the channel is not the not the receiver of the gift. It's who that gift comes to and through. All right. Now let's talk a bit about our responsibility as a believer. What can we do? Paul says here that we are to earnestly desire. In 1 Corinthians 12:30, 31, he said, covet earnestly the best gifts. In chapter 14, the first verse, he said, desire spiritual gifts. Desire these charismatic gifts. Covet them even. And this is interesting because in the Old Testament, the 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. But here Paul says, covet the best gifts. A strong language. Now the Old Testament commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or his cattle or anything that belongs to thy neighbor. The gifts are for the church. We are to covet those. We are to earnestly and diligently seek after those. Not to throw them away or relegate them to antiquity, but to covet them and have them available in the ministry today. Okay? All right? Now, if we're going to do that, how are we to do it? We'll talk next week more specifically about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and about the necessity of being baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to minister the gifts. If you are going to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating through you in your life, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Okay, now I'm talking to believers, assuming that you're a believer. God's not going to operate his gifts through unbelievers, but except in rare occasions, and he has done that. God has operated through unbelievers. And I'll give you an example of that so that you understand what I'm saying. Do you remember Balaam's donkey? I think you could call Balaam's donkey an unbeliever, couldn't you? Huh? And God spoke through him the word of prophecy. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey, huh? A miracle, also a miracle, yes. So you could literally say that God could speak through an ass. Because he did. Over in the New Testament, the high priest prophesied about Jesus. He didn't even know he was prophesying. But he said that it's good that one man should die for the nation. You remember that? Over in the Gospels. He prophesied as high priest. He didn't know he was prophesying, but he did. So God sometimes will speak through an unbeliever in very strange ways. But normally it doesn't come that way. Normally if you're going to operate in the supernatural, you're going to have to experience the supernatural first. You must receive the supernatural. And there are so many that are believers, and again, love the Lord Jesus. They want to operate in healing. They want to operate in miracles. They want to operate in supernatural knowledge, but they don't want to operate in tongues. See? Gee, it'd be all right if it wasn't for the tongues. That tongue stuff just, it just turns me off. Well, it'd really turn them on if they got a good dose of it. Amen? If we're going to operate in the supernatural, first of all, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. We must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, let me just talk to you briefly about this. Huh? We'll expand on this next week. We said that man was a spirit, that he had a soul, and that he lived in a body. Man is a three-part being. This is his innermost being. This is his mind and his reasoning power, his will is in his emotions. And this is the part that he contacts his physical world with through his body. When he is born again, he says, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my innermost being and give me a renewed spirit. Make me a new creature. Well, Jesus doesn't come in the flesh because how's he going to How's he going to jump on the inside of me? You see, he can't do that. Besides, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. But he and the Spirit are one. He sends his Holy Spirit. We say, Jesus, here's the door on my heart, right here. It has a handle on the inside, and I open it up. Come on in. Holy Spirit instantly comes. Instantly. Just right then. Instantly. Not tomorrow, the next day. Right then. He comes. And the Holy Spirit becomes one with our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now the Holy Spirit is no longer out here. He is in here. Now that's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. An unbeliever has a dead spirit, unregenerated spirit, dead because of sin and trespasses. The Holy Ghost is on the outside of him. Everything that's godly is on the outside. All right? When he's born again, the Holy Spirit comes in to live with him. That's what it means. I'll sup with you. He'll sup with me. He comes in to live on the inside. All right, now he's born again. His spirit is alive. He's been reborn by the Spirit. When he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, he does not get more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets more of him. And when he's baptized in the Holy Spirit that's on the inside, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, out of his spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which had not yet been given because that Christ had not yet been glorified. John 7:37-39. You don't say, oh, God, send your Holy Spirit and baptize me. He already has. He came crying into your heart, Abba, Father, when you were born again. You say, Lord, flow your Holy Spirit out of the inside of me. Baptize me in the Spirit. Cause me to be so full of your Spirit that he just inundates me completely. And he spills out into your soul and your mind. He spills out into your body. He baptizes you all over like you took a dunk in a pool. All right? You didn't get more of him. He got more of you. Now, the more of you he has, the easier it is for him to do his works. Now, here was our picture here. Now, let's suppose that we have given God this much of us. Now, how's he going to get that healing down here? He starts sending that healing down. You see, we've given him our spirit. And we're good and born again. We love him with all our heart. And we love Kay. We're married to her in this case, you see. We want her to be healed. For goodness sakes, we want her to be healed. But God sends healing down the pipe. It starts to come down the pipe. It gets down right about here, and this is your soul. Your mind, it's all filled with, well, these things aren't really for today. And yet God only heals who he wants to, and I don't even know anybody that was healed. It's right there and it stops. And unless God can find another channel, that healing won't get there. And at least it won't get there through you. So if you want to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit, you've got to give him the whole channel. And that's what being baptized in the Holy Ghost really means, is you do a total surrender. You do, I'm yours. All of me, everything, body, soul, and spirit. You do whatever you want to do with me, Father. Anything at all, you just go on and do it. Then, you see, he's got access to you completely. And he can get that good gift down through you without all this interference. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You don't have all these blocks in there, James?
The channel.
I'm talking about the channel. Right. I'm talking about operating in the gifts, not receiving it. Operating in it, having the gifts manifested through you. Most believers want God to use them. Most believers want to be used. And what we need to learn, and this is what I'm hoping God will show us, believing he will, is how can we be more used? How can we be used in a greater way? How can God use us more and more and more in delivering his good gifts to the people who are needed? Okay, so first of all, you receive the Holy Ghost. Next week, we're really going to dig into this aspect right here. If you know people that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and are interested in it, you bring them next Wednesday evening, because we're going to talk specifically about the Holy Spirit baptism and why and how. And if there are people that want to receive, we'll pray for the Lord to fill them with the Holy Ghost next Wednesday night. So that's next Wednesday night's subject. You bring those people that are interested, or bring the curious. I got saved because I was curious about the work of the Holy Spirit. If I wasn't interested in this, I'd still be dead in sin and trespasses if it wasn't for this. Okay. Secondly, covet the gifts. This is our part. We said that that in order to get this good gift of God delivered to the person in need, it required a partnership between God, the giver, and us as the channel through whom the manifestation was going to come. So we're to covet the best gifts. This is part of our part. I give you some scriptures on that. I already did, didn't I? Huh? Okay. It may be that God would have you to have hands laid upon you. In Romans, the first chapter, and this is proper, Romans chapter 1, the 11th verse, Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." Paul says, "I long to see you, because it may be that I might impart unto you," God may use me to deliver to you a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are imparted. Some other scriptures we've already seen tonight, 2 Timothy 1:6, 1 Timothy 4:14. And then this other one you might take down is in Deuteronomy 34:9. It's the story of Moses laying his hands upon Joshua and what happened there. All right, 34:9. Okay, now the fourth one. And this, I talk about this one all night. Now, we're covering a lot of ground tonight, and I'm sorry we have to cover so much in one night, but we just really do. And there are many things I'd like to say about each of these things we're saying, but just trust the Lord to fill in the gaps. Because we've got to get through it in order to be ready for next week. Tell us, say this. If you're going to operate in the gifts, you'd better be dedicated to God. I mean dedicated and consecrated to Him. God is not using the idly curious to deliver His good things, you see, to the people in need. He's using those that are really consecrated and dedicated to Him. In the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul talks about how important it is to be available unto God. I've said before, and you know that this is true, that if God is trying to get healing from Himself to a person who is sick, He's going to choose a channel who is where? Available, but where? Where the sick person is. If you'd like for God to use you in the gifts of healing, but you don't ever want to visit any sick people, then don't expect God to use you. If you'd like for God to use you in the gift of prophecy, but you never are in attendance at meetings where charismatic folks are gathered, prayer meetings and services, then you'll never be operating in the gift of prophecy. It just won't happen. If you would like to be operating in the revelation gifts, in the word of knowledge, in the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits, but every time God wants you to minister to somebody, you say, "Well, I'd take him to see the pastor." See? Or, "Well, he ought to go over here." Or you just avoid it. You just got to stay away from it. Then God will never be able to operate those gifts through you. You must be yielded and you must be available to the Spirit of God so that He can use you. In the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, in the 8th verse, and there are thousands of examples, but this one just came to my mind as I was thinking about it. And this is Paul on the island of Malta. "And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him." See, Paul was available and he was yielded. He was on Malta where the sick man was, and he was yielded and available to God. And here's a man with a fever and a bloody flux, and Paul says, well, I believe God to do this. And he laid his hands on him. He said, be made whole in the name of Jesus. The man was healed. See? That's being yielded, being dedicated to God. All right, the second aspect of it is, okay, first of all, you must be available and yielded. Secondly, you must stay close to God. And I think it's only fair to warn you that if you're going to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit, that you will be a marked target. And I don't mean that to frighten anybody, because greater is He, hallelujah, that's in us than he that's in the world. But if you are out there casting out demons, if you are out there undoing the work that Satan has been doing, if you're setting the captives free, if you're preaching release to those that are bound, if God is using you to deliver His good gifts to these people, if you were the enemy, you'd be trying to cut off the channel, wouldn't you? So if you're going to be used of the gifts, then you must be vigilant. You must stay close to God. James said in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's part of your being dedicated to the Lord, and it's important. And the fifth thing has to do with our stewardship. Someone look up Matthew chapter 25, and Lois, you look up 1 Peter 4:10 again, please. Okay. 25, 14, and 15. Lois, would you read 1 Peter 4:10?
As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Okay. If God has given you a ministry as a channel for healing, prophecy, interpretation, miracles, word of knowledge, or whatever it is, let each one who has received that enabling of God minister to others as good stewards of the, what's it say?
Of the manifold,
of the manifold what?
Grace.
The manifold grace of God. Let he who has received the charismatic gift minister the charismatic gift as the charismatic gift of God. Let he who has received the grace of God minister it as it is the grace of God. Okay? All right, Matthew 25. Okay, let's just stop there. Whose goods did he deliver? No, who? Just read it again. Listen to whose goods they are.
The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods.
His goods. Okay. It's important that we understand that we are stewards of the graces of God. The gift of healing does not belong to us. It's not ours. It's His. We have custody of it to be operating as a channel or a distribution manner for God to get that gift to the person who is in need. I think that's the most important thing I want you to see tonight. God's the giver. We are the channel through whom the gift is manifested. The person in need is the one that's receiving it. We do not own or possess the gift, and the gifts operate properly when we operate in cooperation with God as stewards of the gifts that God has given us. Do you understand that? Is it clear? Okay. All right, next week we'll talk briefly about whether or not there are counterfeit gifts. I want you to see that out of the Scripture. We'll talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit specifically. We'll talk about counterfeited and contaminated gifts. And that'll help you to understand some things that happen and have happened. And it'll help you to be able to properly explain to the curious, some of the things that, you know, that go on that will set their mind at rest. Then we talk about the baptism in the Spirit. Then the following week we begin to look at the gifts themselves. Any questions before we close?
I just wanted to ask if the channel had anything to do with the vessel, if they're similar.
Mm-hmm.
The
same.
The vessel usually doesn't
have the bottom out. Mm-hmm. Yes, but you pour from. Yes, that's exactly what God takes the vessel and he pours a little here and a little bit here. You can use any illustration you want. This is just one way of looking at it. But it's just important that you see the relationship. That's really what I want you to see tonight. The relationship and the three elements that are involved in the operation of the gifts. Now, when we talk about the specific gifts, every gift has these three elements in it. Every time it's manifested, those three elements are there. And that's what I want us to see tonight, how they operate. Okay? Any other questions? Well, I pray God that answered our prayer, and that all of this comes to you in a way that you understand and can receive. I encourage you to take the notes that you have and spend some time with them. And take these scriptures and meditate on, because if all you get is what you get here, when you're here on Wednesday night, you'll not get it all. There's no way you can get it all, because we're covering a lot of ground in the last couple of weeks. All right, let's give thanks. Father, we appreciate your ministry to us tonight. We thank you so much, Father, that you love us enough to allow us to be used by you to deliver the wonderful grace of God to those that are in need. And we thank you also, Father, that when we are in need, that you will find good channels to deliver your grace to us. We thank you, Father, that you, not only are you a supernatural God, but you have called us to be a people with supernatural gifts operating among us. We praise you and we thank you for that, Father. For what you're showing us about these gifts, we thank you. And now, Lord, just strengthen us through the word. In Jesus' name, amen.